Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
The Texans are 4-1. There's only one other 4-1 team in the NFL. There's only two undefeated teams in the NFL. It's the Chiefs and Commanders and the Minnesota Vikings. Chiefs and Commanders. Why am I getting dyslexic here? Jeez. Chiefs are undefeated. Vikings are undefeated. Texans are 4-1. Commanders are 4-1. There. Got it. And I do get a collective sense of meh, Joe, about the Texans locally. But that is not how people are feeling about this team nationally. And perhaps that is why we are here, with as many people seemingly indifferent about the Texans with where they stand right now as they are. The hype is not being lived up to because they're not winning with style points. They're not doing college football powerhouse things. But I'm just going to list all of the rankings for the Houston Texans in power rankings that I saw today. ESPN has them at 3. Pro Football Talk has them at 4. CBS has them at 3. Fox has them at 4. NFL.com has them at 4. Sports Illustrated has them at 5. And The Sporting News has them at 3. I'm sure there are others, but most people, given that they are 4-1, one of four teams with one loss or less, they are being put towards the top of the league. And yet a lot of people here are like, it's the Texans.
I mean, I don't get it. But they definitely are a top five team in the NFL right now. The way their defense is playing, the way that C.J. Stroud has played in big moments and most games, you know, the high points of the offense, like how good it's looked. And, yeah, they're 4-1. Like, they absolutely should be in this category. I think what's interesting is the most interesting team to have this discussion around the Texans with is the team that you kind of hold yourself to a standard against right now, which I would say is Baltimore. A team that beat you twice last year, that you're going to play on Christmas this year. And while they're 3-2, they do look like they're still one of the top two teams in the AFC right now, I would say. I still think the Texans are very clearly that third team in the AFC.
Behind Baltimore
and Kansas City.
Until you beat Baltimore, I agree with you.
Yeah.
And until you play Kansas City, we have no really way to measure them. But Kansas City last night finally got an impressive win in a year where Patrick Mahomes is off to his worst statistical start. They got players who played here a couple of years ago. Juju Smith-Schuster, Kareem Hunt, coming back in and putting together statistically impressive performances. This is really the Patriots all over again. The Patriots used to do this stuff, too. How many times did LeGarrette Blount play for the Patriots?
Yeah.
I mean, they'd bring back the receivers that were there, in and out.
Just because, like, they fail elsewhere.
Exactly.
And then they succeed as soon as they get back.
Some defensive players, too. I don't know what it was, but the Chiefs are doing the exact same thing right now. And it's hard to imagine the Texans beating them. But I'm just surprised that people are so upset about a 4-1 start. Maybe upset is a strong word to say, but they would have had to go 10-0 in the first 5 weeks to live up to the expectations that some have. And by the way, that's not mathematically possible.
Yeah, I do think it's what Sean said earlier. Like, and maybe this is what, you know, I know this frustrates you a little bit. It's the fantasy football culture a little bit of what the NFL has become, where like they want more offense.
But the stats have been impressive for Stroud.
I know they are, but
the last 2 weeks at least.
It's just the amount of field goals you're kicking that is definitely part of this. Because upset, you're probably right, might not be the best word. So it's like a severe annoyance of just like the lack of big plays and big point totals that you wanted to see. You wanted the Texans to look like the team you play with in Madden. You want to be running up the score on people and beating Buffalo 40-10.
That's true, but the NFL is in rookie mode.
I know, but people want it to be in rookie mode because they think the Texans are playing on rookie mode.
There were stretches on Sunday where it was really easy for the Texans. And I think it does have a lot of people wondering what this team will be with out wide receiver Nico Collins. Now, I don't know how many people saw the press conference that D'Amico Ryans had yesterday, but when D'Amico was asked about Nico Collins, and Sean, sorry to throw this last second at you, he gave an answer that made it seem like he's going to be out for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, Nico, he's in good spirits. Of course, with the hamstring, it takes a couple weeks for a hamstring, so we'll evaluate that, you know, on a week-to-week basis to see when we can get him back.
A couple of weeks without him, and it's a shame because when he had that touchdown where he ran by everybody, which is where he suffered the hamstring injury, they looked like they were going to run away with that game.
Yeah, I think it might be a little bit before we see Nico Collins back with the Texans, which is really a bummer, and it raises a lot of questions about who this offense is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I know like there's just a lot of trolls in there in the Twitch these days. But one of the arguments that I've seen, one of the narratives trying to be pushed, is that now it's Nico that's created C.J. Stroud. It's not C.J. Stroud that's created Nico in the offense. It makes me giggle, too. But to this point, we saw last year the Texans' offense take a major step back when Tank Dell got hurt. We've seen this offense take major steps back in the second half of most of these games, and we saw this last week without Nico, what it looks like. But this is why you do go get Stephon Diggs, because it's almost, for me, inexcusable for the offense to take a major step back. You have Stephon Diggs. You have Tank Dell. You have Dalton Schultz. Like, you still have great weapons.
You don't have a running game. And maybe you have less of an ability to stretch the field than you do with Collins, because if he runs straight down the field and CJ has time, I don't know what you do. And I know Buffalo is missing both of their safeties, so that play was a little bit easier. But I really don't know what you do against Nico. Here's more from D'Amico Ryans at yesterday's press conference talking about the impact of no Nico Collins.
Missing Nico would be very difficult. Like, Nico has been the best receiver in the NFL this year. So do you replace him? No. Everybody just steps up, and whatever role you're asked to do, you just step up and play your role the proper way. Nobody has to go out and be Nico. Right, there's one Nico. He's done a great job of that. Now, whoever is next, when your number is called, make the plays that you're supposed to make.
You had a question, Joe, about the Texans in a no Nico Collins world.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what does it look like? Does the offense, can it survive without Nico Collins?
If it's a fill in the blank kind of answer, the Texans offense is blank without Nico Collins. I'll say adequate. It does mean the defense is going to have to step up, and you do have the fortune the next couple of weeks of playing a Patriots team, which is, it looks really bad there. As someone who grew up rooting for the team.
Yeah, next week's almost, I think next week is what's, expectation-wise, I don't think next week's going to paint the real picture of what, if this is a week's injury, of what will the Texans offense be without Nico. I don't think there's going to be much to gain from a viewing point of what it is without Nico, because the Patriots are not good. You have Christian Gonzalez, who's like one of the best young corners in the NFL.
They have a really good defense, but with Christian Gonzalez.
Yeah, but I don't think you're going to be able to get like a real grasp of what the next week versus Green Bay is going to look like when you play Indianapolis again, and then you get to Halloween with the Jets, because that kind of feels like the trajectory that we're on is that, when they say weeks, I mean, I don't think you're going to see him play October 27th versus Indianapolis and then 4 days later play on Thursday Night Football against the Jets. It might be that gap where you don't play from the 31st to the 10th and you've got 10 days. Like, you might be talking about a week 10 Sunday Night Football return for Nico Collins and this team. Like, that's a lot to ask. Maybe the earliest is that Halloween game versus the Jets on the 31st. Schedule's not brutal. I mean, it's there's some good teams. You know, Green Bay is good. Indianapolis is okay. But what they can survive, and adequate is fair. But what D'Amico said is what's most important, is you don't need someone to beat Nico. You have enough talent on this roster, and you have a quarterback that should be able to survive without him.
He should be able to raise the level of play around him. Robert Woods has been good in the past. I imagine you're going to see more Robert Woods in the next couple of games. We'll see if Xavier Hutchinson's earned some more playing time on the field. Hutchinson had a couple of nice plays. John Metchie does seem to be the guy that's last in the power rankings of Texans wide receivers.
Yeah, he's like a blocker at this point when he comes on the field.
Yeah, and I mean, even Xavier Hutchinson's a better blocker than him, too, so he doesn't even have that really going for him. But I think that they are adequate without Nico Collins. I think that against the Patriots, they shouldn't need that much, though. I think the Patriots will muck that game up. We'll see if Drake May is actually anything special. There is a part of me that hopes that he is, but I doubt he's going to be special in week one, especially with how the Texans defense looked against Josh Allen and with how it looked against Caleb Williams. But you can answer that question. The Texans offense is blank without Nico Collins. And what do you feel wrong about with the Texans to this point of the year? It's Gallant and George. He's Joe and Paul. Stay put.
Want to talk to you guys about OA Athletic, oathletic.com. OA Athletic on Instagram is where you can see them as well. And 767 North Shepherd in the Heights. About 15 minutes here from the station, the Galleria area. They offer over 100 classes per week that you can take, whether it's, you know, a Brazilian jiu-jitsu or boxing class, from weight training to agility training. Pretty much anything you want to try out, you can at OA Athletic. You can sign up for a personal trainer. They will work with you to fit it around your schedule. So when you want to go to the gym, it's always up to you. You don't have to work to exactly what they want to do. You just have to find a way to make it work in your schedule, and they will make it work for you. Don't wait till 2025 to start trying to lose weight or hit your goals and start your goals for that year. Start right now. Check them out, oathletic.com, 767 North Shepherd in the Heights, and oathletic on Instagram.
You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Joe and his injury, we'll still evaluate that week to week. We don't know as of right now. I can't give you that answer, but we'll see how Joe improves over the week. He's definitely been improving. Week to week, he's been improving. He's doing a great job attacking his rehab, so we'll see where he is as the week goes on.
You heard Texans head coach D'Amico Ryans in the last segment say that it might be a couple of weeks before Nico Collins is back after suffering that hamstring injury while scoring a long touchdown against the Bills on Sunday. There he was, Ryans, talking about Joe Mixon's status. Joe Mixon has been out since week two against the Chicago Bears, where he suffered an injury in that game, an ankle injury. And there have been moments where it looked like he might be back on the field, but he's been out, and Damian Pierce has been out. So, Joe, if I'm saying that I'm maybe not wrong about anything, but most disappointed in with the Texans to this point, it's that the running offense is not different than last year and that Joe Mixon has not been out there. And you gave him that contract.
Yeah, and the Mixon one's really strange because just think back to that game. He came back in. He got hurt, and then he came back into the game.
Right.
And now he's been out for weeks. Like, and then he's been questionable and practicing, but it doesn't seem like he's getting really any closer.
Exactly.
It's really a strange injury because, like, you see, like, you know, Cody Stutes and DJ and all these guys, like, oh, Joe Mixon's at practice. That was like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
He was back on a Friday, and I was like, oh, maybe Joe Mixon's going to play this Sunday. And then he doesn't play. And, like, it's very strange. If Nico is going to be out for weeks, they really need Joe Mixon back. Like you need to have him there, and you now have a guy who I think you should feel confident in with Dario Gumbawale as a third down back for blocking and receiving. So you don't have to put all the pressure on Mixon, but it just will make life so much easier. I'm with you. I thought the run game would look a little bit better, and I guess we have to still give him the benefit of the doubt a little bit because what we saw week one and early on in week two, and then both guys got hurt.
More comments. We were asking, what are you most disappointed in? And Joe's got another question we'll get to in a second, but Captain Fish 317 says, got to be concerned about the secondary. Deep shot seems to always be there. It was there last year, and the moves that they made this offseason did not make me feel like those were going to completely go away. Maybe they will by the end of the year, but you had another big play allowed by Kamari Lassiter missing a tackle on Sunday. I guess the thing you could say there is, hey, at least no plays actually came to fruition when a Texans defender got beat deep, but there were two plays. There was one early on where I don't know who was supposed to cover the Bills wide receiver that Josh Allen overthrew when they were going right to left, but my God, that thing was an easy touchdown. There was no one within 10 yards of that guy. And the near interception that Azeez Al-Shaair had, the tight end, Dalton Kincaid, had about three steps on him or so, and Allen just underthrew it. The shot plays are almost happening. Luckily, the Texans have been dealing with inaccurate quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's why it doesn't, for me, like fall into the disappointment category. It's just that's the expected category because it's what we talked about all offseason. Because they just didn't address it. Like I like Petrie in his new position, but you have Jimmy Ward, who is either slow or hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You have Eric Murray, who's okay, but you really don't have. Yeah, you have Bullock, who he's young, so like he's gonna make mistakes. You know, he's eventually gonna be hopefully what he was at USC more of, which is just, you know, like a guy who can force turnovers. But you haven't really seen that yet, so none of this is like really a surprise. And Lasseter, we thought, was going to be pretty slow, and he looks pretty slow at times when he's out there.
That missed tackle was bad.
Yeah, Keon Coleman, he's a big guy, but like you can't in that situation. It wasn't a fourth down, right?
Yes, it was.
So like that was, and that's what was the most egregious part of it was you have a fourth down, you have a stop within your grasp, and it turns into a 49-yard touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Or like that's inexcusable.
Lasseter does fly to the ball, and he did have a really nice hit at one point in this game. I forget when. More questions about, hey, what are you most disappointed in with the Texans to this point? Because there's a lot of disappointment out there for a team that's 4-1. One of four teams with a record of 4-1 or better. Chiefs, Vikings, Commanders, you.
Tank Dell for me. I guess I just thought, even though there's all this talent in the wide receiver room, I expected more from Tank Dell.
This is why I told everybody the fantasy football stuff. It's so dumb. Like, the way that they were going to get all these guys 100-yard games over and over again, I just didn't see that happening.
Yeah, but I don't even feel like it's that.
Have to have essentially like three guys that were getting 100 yards receiving a game. That just doesn't happen.
I really just don't feel like he's even, you know, really super involved in the offense. You know, I mean, I thought that some of the stuff we're seeing with Diggs, you know, that play we talked about yesterday where, you know, CJ breaks away from the sack and he finds Stephon Diggs on the right side of the field with like four defenders around him. That was kind of the Tank Dell play last year. But Tank only had four targets in this game. They're clearly worried about getting him the ball because they're running a reverse every single week, and this week it was a disaster. I thought the connection with CJ was going to elevate him into what Diggs has been this year. I guess I had it flipped.
Okay.
So I just thought we were going to see more from Tank Dell this season. Not that he's been bad or anything like that. We haven't seen him beat. Now, this is his opportunity without Nico. Like, what can Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell be without him? Because we haven't really seen Tank be involved in the deep stuff, which we saw last year. So I just had my little surprise that just the lack of explosive plays from Tank Dell. He doesn't need to have 100 yards every week, but more than 40 would be nice.
I'm with you in that. We haven't seen really one yet. There was a play down the middle of the field. I forget which game it was where it went right through his hands.
Yep, week one, right?
Might have been week one, might have been week two.
Oh, no, it was week two. You're right.
I forget. Yeah. I forget. There was another play where it was nearly intercepted in week one against the Colts where Dell was downfield and he was open, but CJ underthrew it. I know Danielle Hunter, for some, I would raise my hand up, Joe, but that's another one where you're not seeing the impact that you thought you would. 16.5 sacks last year.
Yeah, combo that with Will Anderson. Just not getting a lot out of those guys.
Anderson won the game for you Sunday, so...
Yeah, he's not having the splashy numbers, I would say. It feels like a lot like last year.
Numbers. Guys, man.
Where last year I was annoyed by all the fake stats that people were coming up with that are kind of starting to come up again. Yeah. The, like, distance from quarterback when the ball is thrown. All that stuff that people started to push last year when he wasn't getting actual sacks.
But, I mean, Allen was 9 of 30.
Oh, I know. I'm not saying, like, it's – I thought they were going to get – And you know, maybe it's viewing it from a pessimistic view, because what we are seeing on the defensive line is we're seeing a different guy every week, whether it's Khalil Davis this last week or Foley Fatukasi or Mario Edwards. Like, we are seeing Tim Settle the week before, where they're getting to the quarterback, and probably that is a lot of the attention that's going to Anderson and Hunter. But Hunter is really I don't feel like we're feeling the impact that we're seeing from Will Anderson.
I agree with you there.
I just wanted to see the next step for Will Anderson. And I don't think we've seen that just yet.
3 of 5 weeks, you've given the quarterbacks hell. And I'm just going to say this to a lot of people, and I think this is part of the group that is a little meh about the Texans. If you're looking for stats, you've come to the wrong place. The NFL is not about stats. I know a lot of you people play fantasy football, or you want to look at the box score and say, like, yeah, I got a guy who's leading the league in numbers. They do not matter. They do not matter at all. Stop focusing on them. Stop. The pressure is happening. 3 of 5 games, you've had quarterbacks running for their life. Sam Darnold was running for his life in that game. You just couldn't do anything on offense because you kept on shooting yourselves in the foot against the Minnesota Vikings. You sacked him 4 times. What did you have, 7 sacks of Caleb Williams?
Yep.
And Josh Allen, I thought that was a great performance by the Texans defensive line against Josh Allen. The scramble damage was minimized, and it was all because they were just letting him pin their ears back and go after him. But I will agree that I have not noticed Daniil Hunter much.
Yeah,
I would like to notice him a little more. The stats I don't need. I just would like to see some more havoc created by him. And it does feel like of any of the guys up at the front, it's been the defensive tackles, and it's been Will Anderson too.
Junior Bronco on the Twitch says Toto has been pleased with.
Toto's been great. Sticking folks.
Yeah, I think one of the most surprising things about the season still is just I don't feel like they missed Christian Harris, and I just can't wait for him to get back.
Right, and we don't even know when he's going to come back, but based off of what D'Amico Ryan said, it's not going to be Sunday against the Patriots.
It feels like this would be an all-time bad calf injury, it seems like.
I mean, it's probably an Achilles of some sort. Some sort of issue that's bordering on Achilles.
They're just calling it a calf.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you saw it with Kevin Durant 5 years ago when he was on the Warriors. It was a calf injury, and he comes back, and he plays in the finals, and then tears his ACL, or his Achilles.
Right.
Same thing with Christian McCaffrey, where all offseason it was a calf injury. And then now it's both Achilles have tendonitis. I don't know if it's going to be that bad, but chances are it's more of an Achilles.
It almost just, at this point, it's like if you hear calf injury, you go, oh,
it's like forearm tightness. It's like forearm tightness with
Tommy John.
Yeah, with Tommy John, where it's like that's kind of the report that comes out a couple weeks before Tommy John comes out.
And I'd rather you take your time, Christian Harris.
Yeah,
no need for a torn Achilles.
I have a confession. Now, I won't laugh if it happens to this specific player, like a lot of people will. But much like I said last year, that I laughed very hard knowing what Jets fans were going through when Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles. If Rodgers, who's been dealing with a calf injury for, it seems like the entire year, if after they fire their head coach on Monday Night Football, Aaron Rodgers injures his Achilles again, I will laugh at Jets fans. I will laugh at Jake Aspin. I will laugh very, very hard, too. I will laugh so hard. I'll say some quick T's and P's to Aaron Rodgers. I will.
I mean, nothing personal.
He's fine.
But I will laugh so hard at the idea of Jake Aspin in his little Jets hat, and his little Jets T-shirt, and his little Jets jersey, and his little Jets jacket.
Do you think there's a chance that he carries the giant American flag on Monday Night Football? Because next Monday, it's Columbus Day / International People's Day or Indigenous People's
Day.
What
a day for Aaron Rodgers.
So,
I think he requested that
Do you think that's a day where he comes out with the giant American flag?
Oh, no. He's going to come out with a flag of whatever native tribe is the one that's supplying him with the ayahuasca. Yeah, that's what he's going to come out with. A Blackfeet of South America or something. I don't know.
Wherever he's at.
Yeah.
I think he's there right now.
On his day off.
Yeah.
Quick trip to Peru.
Day off. They fired him. I guess they had to wait because they were coming back from London.
They fired him on his day off.
At least they didn't leave him in London.
Oh, they escorted him out of the building on his
That's
day
That's true.
Off.
At least they didn't leave him in
like
London.
That, we've seen college coaches get fired on the tarmac. Imagine just being like, hey, dude. We're all going back to New York.
We're good.
You can go back to New York, too, but you can't come with us.
You got your passport, right? All right, cool. Later.
Up next, we got the 10-minute drill. By the way, Jets head coach Robert Saleh canned. Let's discuss that and the Devontae Adams situation. Has he been traded yet? No, but he's tweeting Edgar Allan Poe pictures out. I don't know what the hell that means. Galata George, stay put.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
The New York Jets fired head coach Robert Saleh today. Texans will play the New York Jets Thursday night football on Halloween. What's interesting about this firing is it happened on a Tuesday, which is generally the scheduled day off in the NFL. And I would imagine perhaps a little bit more of a day off since the Jets are not playing until Monday against the Buffalo Bills. Saleh was escorted from the premises, unlike his predecessor, or one of his predecessors. Adam Gase, when he was fired by the New York Jets, was not escorted off of the out of the Jets facility. So Saleh didn't even have a chance to say goodbye to the players or address them as he got let go.
Well, maybe they didn't want to say goodbye.
There's a fair
chance.
Maybe they
said, hey, get him out of here.
There's a fair chance that happened.
Apparently, Woody Johnson's going to do a conference call here with the media.
Oh, in I a can't little bit. Wait. So, that will be fun.
I'm very curious. I also just saw something from one of the aggregators, so there's always a little bit of a chance it's not perfectly translated. But apparently there was a major confrontation on Sunday after the press conference between Aaron Rodgers and Robert Saleh, in which Aaron Rodgers and Saleh were yelling at each other.
Oh, wow.
But Rodgers wouldn't even look him in the eye, which is just...
Rodgers said, I believe, on Monday that they're friends. Rodgers is such a mean girl.
They ain't friends?
Nah. I really wonder who is friends with Aaron Rodgers. He's very aloof.
Alan Lazard?
I don't even know if there's guys Cobb. That have played with him in a million spots.
Jordy Nelson?
I don't even know if they're his friends.
Pat McAfee?
Dave Bakhtiari?
Yeah, Bakhtiari. Probably.
Yeah, Bakhtiari makes sense. Yeah, I don't know, but like...
I feel like he's friends with Miles Teller. I think that's his only friend. The actor, Miles Teller.
Yeah, and even
Miles Teller?
Yeah. Yeah. Randomly, yeah. He's gone on vacations with Miles Teller.
All right.
That would seem like a good time.
Joe Rogan? Do you think that they're friends? I don't know about that.
No, I feel like they just text each other conspiracy theories. Like, I feel like sometimes our group chats, like, we're just sending each other tweets.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what they just do. They just send each other tweets of conspiracy theories about the election and all of our stuff around the world. And they just giggle at it.
See this hurricane? Crazy.
See this plane that's flying through the hurricane that's controlling its path? Yeah.
I saw some people with the government's making the storm head this way because Florida's been so just not COVID compliant. I've seen all sorts of takes. All I know is I'm bummed out. For those who know, I went to high school in St. Pete, Florida. From what I understand, that all of my family, including my dad and others, have evacuated, but it's been really difficult to evacuate. And I don't really know what else to say. I'm pretty sad about what's going to happen to Tampa Bay. Anyway, Robert Saleh, he is gone. Who is the new Jets interim coach? Jeff Ulbrich.
Sounds right.
Sure.
I wish it was.
I know the what you said is right. I'm not sure if you pronounced it correctly, but for now, I'm going to say it's correct.
I wish it was Nathaniel Hackett so bad.
I was actually surprised when I got the second push notification, and it didn't say Nathaniel Hackett. I was like,
it can't be Nathaniel Hackett.
I mean, it shouldn't be.
It should be, and it would be so great. It would be so Jets.
I mean, I was saying during one of the breaks, because they were talking about it on SportsCenter, and they had Jeff Saturday talking about it. And I just was reminded of the time Jeff Saturday was the interim coach of the Indianapolis Colts.
Hire someone fun. Just a rando Jet.
That's what they should have done. They should have just gotten, I don't know.
Fireman Ed?
Yeah. Alan Faneca.
What if they just named Aaron Rodgers head coach? Coach yourself.
Yeah.
The Chiefs beat the Saints 26-13 last night. They're 5-0. Do we not need to talk much about the game? I mean, effing Juju Smith-Schuster is good again. Kareem Hunt's good again. Travis Kelce's good again. And the Chiefs are undefeated. Kevin Harlan's the best. How about that? Kevin Harlan is the best broadcaster I think in sports, whether it's calling basketball for TNT, they better move him to one of the major networks for NBA season. Here he is calling an interception by a defensive lineman off of Patrick Mahomes.
Here we go, second down and goal. Mahomes in the gun, the two in New Orleans. P. Ryan in motion. There's a shotgun snap, the fake handoff, the quick throw at the goal line is deflected and it's intercepted on the play by Saunders. He runs the big man, the 10, near sideline 20, on the near sideline 30, got a block and from behind, the former Chief is taken down. The Saints big man got it on the ricochet at the goal line on a pass intended for Smith-Schuster. That was a thick pick!
It was a thick pick. It bounced off of Schuster's hand, and Saunders one-handed it with the left hand, and the former running back looked good getting the ball all the way out near midfield of all of the plays that could have happened.
We were just talking about him. His brother dances. He runs. They are a talented family. 36-yard return. Timeout taken. Timeout taken. Taylor Swift is here. 1:43 to go in the third.
Check on the box.
Chiefs lead 16-7. The Saints dodge a bullet. You're listening to Monday Night Football on Westwood One.
Harlan's the best. Harlan is the absolute best.
Yeah, he just turns such like little moments into fun things. I mean, obviously, the best is when there's a fan on the field.
Drunk fans on the field.
Yes.
Cats on the field.
Yep.
Squirrels on the field. He can turn anything into magic. And by the way, he worked on Sunday too. Did you hear this call that he had on Sunday?
No.
In Ravens Bengals? Another stupendous call. This guy's the GOAT.
Justice Hill is the back. Likely in motion. He bubbles it. Scoops it in. Vacuums it home. Here comes Hubbard. Oh, he threw him away like a rag doll. And he throws in the end zone. Caught! Caught for a touchdown! Caught for a touchdown by Likely! Absolutely amazing! How in the world did he keep it together and then find the open receiver?
He's the best.
That play was wild for Lamar.
It was a wild play.
It was a great call. He's almost like, because he does so much, it's kind of a little bit like Gus Johnson too. Like if you know Gus Johnson or Kevin Harlan are on the call, it kind of feels like at some point something chaotic is going to unfold. Just feels like it's like attracted to them whenever they're doing anything.
Mm-hmm. He's so damn good. And with apologies to our beloved Coug, Jim Nance, who is a wonderful guy, I think Harlan's the best. I think Harlan should be the number one at CBS. This is nothing against Jim Nance. I think Harlan is the best play-by-play broadcaster there is. And I apologize for taking us down a 10-minute broadcaster tangent. I apologize. Just like Kevin Harlan. Thick pick. Incredible. Devontae Adams has not been traded by the Las Vegas Raiders yet. I imagine that will happen any minute now.
Mm-hmm. He was supposed to be on, I guess he has a weekly podcast with
Kay Adams.
Kay Adams.
Canceled.
And she tweeted out that it was happening. And then like 2 hours later, she put out some eye emojis, said it wasn't happening. Some stuff's going down.
Did you see the interview he had done last week where Kay looked so sad for him?
Yeah.
People were memeing Kay looking sad for Devontae Adams. We're talking some of the incels of Twitter saying, I wish that someone would look at me like this.
I mean,
I also wish that somebody would look like me like this, though. So shout out to those people.
Also same.
Pour one out. You got a wife.
I know, but there's a good look there.
I'm Joe. I have a wife.
Where do you think he gets traded to?
It's a great question. I don't know. I mean,
because I would have said the Jets, but now I kind of feel like after you fire Saleh, I don't know if you also then fall
no,
in love with Devontae Adams.
It does make sense. You go all in. I mean, you just fired the head coach in the middle of the week. Give the team a shot in the arm. And that would give the team a shot in the arm, though. It is a clown car in East Rutherford. Devontae Adams just posted a picture of Edgar Allan Poe, by the way, to his story.
It's going to be a Baltimore Raven.
That could be it.
This is where I feel like America needs to know more than one Edgar Allan Poe poem. Did he write poems? Did he write stories?
He is a poet and a short story writer.
Okay.
From the 1800s from Baltimore.
Really nailed it.
The Baltimore Ravens are named after him. And also, by the way, more Devontae Adams, Edgar Allan Poe, quoting him instead of rap lyrics. Believe nothing you hear and half of what you see. Edgar Allan Poe also posted that on his story.
So he's either going to be a Baltimore Raven or he's the most interesting wide receiver now in the NFL.
Or he's not going to get traded at all. He never requested a trade because I shouldn't believe what I hear.
Because he didn't request a trade. He would prefer a trade.
He'd prefer to be anywhere.
He'd prefer a trade, and he hasn't played or practiced since it became public that he would prefer a trade.
Yeah.
Again, I think just everyone in America just goes Edgar Allan Poe, and then they just spit out
Quoth the Raven.
The Raven.
Quoth the Raven nevermore.
I remember seventh grade or whenever you have to read that, and it's like no one knows anything else about this guy.
The Raven is an effed up poem, but you want to really read some effed up stuff by Edgar Allan Poe, who was emo before emo existed,
yeah.
Goth before goth existed, you have to read The Cask of Amontillado. All-time petty. It is just all-time petty. TL didn't read. It's about a guy who gets someone he doesn't like drunk and interviews him while building a cement wall in front of him and putting him basically in his own tomb. Ooh. Alive. Hmm. While drinking Amontillado.
Edgar Allan Poe also has one called a collection of the Black Cat.
Nice.
So, and Devontae Adams, the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, Panthers.
Could be that.
I mean, you know, Eddie like Dalton, that. Devontae Adams.
Does he have one about Texans? Was Texas a thing when he was kicking?
Probably not officially part of probably the United Mexico. States yet. Yeah.
No.
It was. I mean, we're talking 1840s, yeah. So Texas probably had its independence, right? 1836. Yeah. But I don't know if it was a state at that moment in time.
Okay. If Nico Collins is out for more than 6 weeks, should the Houston Texans trade for Devontae Adams?
Well, a bunch of them.
Paul, what do you think?
Thoughts?
They have some extra draft capital.
If it makes Texans fans actually excited, sure. Sure, I'll take it.
I mean, what's going to happen when they're all healthy?
Then you'll be disappointed when not all of them are getting 100 yards receiving in a game. Well, I can't. The Texans make it work for my fantasy football team. Shut up. I hate everybody. Speaking of hating everybody, so does George Pickens. You thought Devontae Adams is a crazy wide receiver? George Pickens has just lapped everybody with the diva wide receiver nonsense. So he pulled a Cowboys player down by his face mask after the Steelers had officially lost. He was doing all sorts of crazy stuff out there.
Mm-hmm.
And the Steelers just seem okay with letting him continue to play. Imagine you're George Pickens and you just had a temper tantrum on the field and then Russell Wilson's trying to calm you down too. that would make me more angry.
I think like that's why like what are you supposed to do with this guy?
I don't know.
They should have traded him instead of DeAndre Johnson. But you're just kind of stuck with
him. He's too talented, though.
At this point. But, like, also, I would be mad, too.
Antonio Brown was easier to control than George Pickens. That is the fact.
Yeah, for sure. Because at least he just, like, when he got really upset, he just, like, stripped his clothes off and left.
Also, at least Antonio Brown was awesome.
Antonio
Brown was one of the best receivers, if not the best receiver in the league, for, like, 5 straight years. That makes it easier to deal with all this than George Pickens, who's pretty good, I guess. Like, that's where I'd put him at. Like,
what a description.
He's good, I guess.
That is the 10-minute drill. It's Gallon and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I know a lot of people are concerned about Nico Collins' injury, but maybe we should be concerned about potential injury to another Houston Texan, and I'm not talking about Joe Mixon here. Stick around. So Nico Collins is likely out for a few weeks per D'Amico Ryans yesterday. They're also going to be without Joe Mixon on offense for, I would imagine, another week. I don't feel great about his ability to return from that ankle injury on Sunday. Should he need to return on Sunday against a team as bad as the Patriots? Probably not. Not going to lie, though. Never thought a Twitter video with a little rant by a rapper, Joe, would ever make me nervous about potential injury for another Houston Texan. And yet, here we are, as Sean, I'll admit it, I'm not hip with the streets.
Yes.
But DJ Akadu. academics, not spelled like traditional academics.
Spelled with more K's than C's.
What's his deal?
He's a podcaster.
He's a podcaster, but he's not a musician.
I'm sure he does like DJ sets and stuff, but he like I don't think you can go to Spotify and listen to some music.
Oh, so it's stolen DJ Valor. It's like stealing Dr. Valor.
Maybe his first name is DJ.
That could be it.
We'll DJ Bienname.
We'll ask DJ Bienname when he gets in the next
Definitely
hour.
Not. His first name is Livingston.
Wow. Okay.
His first name is Livingston?
Yeah.
What's his last name?
Alan. Oh.
Livingston screamed,
that, you could
I have
flip
a butler.
Those names, and I would believe. Alan Livingston is more of a name than Livingston Allen.
Anyway, per DJ Academics, Stephon Diggs has been very, very busy of late.
Shout out to Stephon Diggs, man. Oh, yeah. By the way, there's two more rappers he f***ing y'all bitches now, too. I'll tell y'all, but y'all got to DM me. I got all the information for y'all, all right? Stephon Diggs is f***ing two other active rappers' bitches. Like, y'all be claiming them, hugging them on the gram, kissing them, talking about Woman Crush Wednesday, all that bullshit. He's long. I don't know if y'all long. He is piping them hoes out. I don't know how he's f***ing all y'all rappers' bitches. Yo, and, oh, the last thing I'm going to say to Stephon Diggs. You're my fantasy team, bro. I want you to keep doing good. Bruh. Make this the last girl you try to f***. The next time, like, you starting to inch into the territory, some of these will shoot you. F*** all that ACL shit you got going on. They'll shoot you. So stop playing around, okay? You f*** too many bitches, and there's a lot of girls at the Texans games. You can f***. Leave the rappers' girls alone. You catching bullets, but you can't catch them bullets, all right? I'm just telling you.
So this is where I'm not sure what to do. It seems Stephon Diggs gets around. I don't judge. Yes. I do not judge. We have known this for a while, mm-hmm. whether it was the story about him having two women in separate hotel rooms at a hotel in 2022 on Valentine's Day, or it's the Vikings locker room asked about whether or not they would let Stephon Diggs date their sister. In case you missed it.
Dalvin, what guy on the team would you least like to date your sister?
What the hell? Diggs.
What guy on this team would you least like to date your sister?
Oh, Stephon Diggs.
What guy on this team would you least like to date your sister?
Least like to date my sister, Diggs. 100%.
What guy on this team would you least like to date your sister? And I might add, you're starting to be the runaway favorite for this.
Would nobody want me to date his sister? I'm a great guy. I'm actually a great guy.
There's actually seems to be a few guys that don't think that.
You feel differently about me?
Yeah.
They just don't know me well enough. That's what it is. It's the beard. All right, who don't I want to date my sister? Weatherly.
Why Weatherly?
Because he's ugly. I knew that was coming. That was the problem.
So that was Stephon Diggs with the Minnesota Vikings. I just wanted to set all this up before asking you guys if I can share this report that DJ Academics has about Stephon Diggs, who he recently supposedly has been hanging out with, he said in quotation marks, because we are ESPN Houston, right? And I don't know if we can prove this for sure. It does seem like speculation, but allegedly he may or may not have had a intimate relationship with one of the most famous female rappers that there is while she is pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Late pregnant.
Eight months pregnant.
Do we entertain this story? Do we report it as fact based off of what DJ Academic says? Because I don't even want to put it out what this very famous rapper's name is.
I don't think we won't put it as fact.
No, I think we can say that this is a rumor that is getting pushed.
Allegedly.
No, it's definitely getting pushed by one of the bigger podcasters that covers rap music. Mm-hmm. So this is what DJ Academics is saying.
Yeah, you say, as long as you preface it.
DJ Academics reports
that
XYZ.
Stephon Diggs is, you know
rumored, allegedly.
With Cardi B.
Yeah. That's a big name.
I just have a lot of questions, though.
This is Red Bottoms.
I know, Sean, you were not here yesterday, and we might have been talking about this off the air. So one of my questions now that I have about Stephon Diggs is that, you know, there's the song Truth Hurts by Lizzo. And in that song, she says she's got a new man on the Minnesota Vikings.
No, no.
That song was released in 2017.
No.
So I wonder if that new man on the Minnesota Vikings was Stephon Diggs.
Stephon?
Who was on the Vikings in 2017.
I think it is disgusting that Joe suggested this.
I have questions.
He would... Stephon, listen, do what you got to do, but I am insulted for Stephon Diggs.
It's a question.
Cardi B was 8 months pregnant, or is?
Yeah.
8 months pregnant?
And still, Lizzo is bigger, so...
No, yes. I'm just saying yes, that...
but you never know.
Diggs is, you know...
No, he wouldn't do that.
Okay.
I'm a big Stephon Diggs guy now.
I am also.
I don't think he would do that.
This made me like Stephon Diggs more.
I do hope that the Texans realize that they maybe need to step up the security. Just a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
This is definitely one of those things where a rapper, I could see him getting a little bit mad to the point of, I don't know, what they're now investigating Diddy for doing to Tupac.
Allegedly. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you want to tread carefully around some of these guys.
For sure.
And some of them, too.
So, yeah. I don't know what is or what isn't. All I know is that is a popular rumor. From DJ Academics. And we are just sharing what we get on those mean internet streets, okay?
Yep.
So, there you go.
Can we ask DJ about this?
Yeah, that's what it's
around the building.
He is Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. We got Sean Mapes behind the glasses. Gallant and George, stay put.
ESPN 97.5.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness. Award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings. Cultural sites to open your mind. And dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save